But I want to bring us to our text this morning. Paul is speaking to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Would you join me there? As we prepare our hearts and our minds to take the Lord's Supper, I want to read from you the Word of God. And these aspects of looking back and looking forward, Paul brings awareness to us as he's challenging the 1 Corinthians to prepare their hearts and their minds to do it in a right manner and to not treat the Lord's Supper as just something. You know, I've shared with you many times when I was growing up in church, my dad was a pastor in the army, and it was just a snack for me in church. I just thought, oh, today's one of those days we're going to have snack in church. It is certainly way more than a snack in church. And besides that, if it was a snack, that's a pretty terrible snack. They don't even give you very much. But I do feel like the same thing that Paul is challenging the Corinthians, some of us have the same challenge. We take the Lord's Supper as if it doesn't mean anything. Or we take the Lord's Supper as it's just something that we do. But no, it's far greater than that. Let's take a look at the words. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 through 26. For I have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Well, let's start off, because Paul's challenging them to look back, to look back. You know, I was thinking, what's a good way to illustrate looking back? And I thought, well, 2019 in review, what are some things that happened? And then as I started looking, there's a lot of negative things happened in 2019. I was looking for some positive things. And then I realized this is a decade that we're closing the door on. We're going to jump into the 2020s, the roaring 20s. And so then I thought, you know what, let's review, let's look back at this past decade. Some of you may have remembered in 2010, the first iPad came out. And Lady Gaga wore a meat dress in 2010. 2011, William of Wales married Catherine Middleton. Some of you aren't too interested in that, but B and I can't get a love of the royals. You know, we watch, we'll get up at 3 o'clock to watch the royal wedding. I don't understand. We even drink tea with our pinkies, but. And also in 2011, everybody was planking. Do you remember that? I saw somebody planking at the Willowbrook Mall, and he was like going to fall off of something. I thought, this is dangerous. It's amazing what takes things over. 2012, Lin Sanity. You remember Jeremy Lin? Maybe you don't remember that one, but we do remember Gangnam Style, right? Y'all remember that one? No? All right. And the world was supposed to end December 21st, 2012, according to the Mayans. I think their calendar's off. 2013, the Harlem Shake. No? All right. How about this one? What does the fox say? Yeah, y'all remember that one. That was 2013. 2014, we all witnessed on the news a Malaysian Airlines passenger jet just disappeared. Remember that? It was unprecedented in aviation history. But then, 2014 also was the ALS Bucket Challenge. Do y'all remember that? ALS is still waiting for some of your donations. You dumped ice on your face, but you didn't actually donate. 2015, the internet lost its mind over a blue and black dress. Or was it white and gold? Guys, were you here in the 19? Like, y'all, some of this isn't even registering. 2016, Leonardo DiCaprio finally won an Oscar. Man, praise the Lord. Yes. And then we were introduced painfully to Pokemon Go. Some of y'all are still doing that in the parks. It's strange. It's gone. 2017, I know everybody experienced this. You probably bought 10 of them. Fidget spinners. Fidget spinners. And we also had that year a total eclipse. 2018, there was another royal wedding. Y'all don't care about that one. 2019 started off with a government shutdown. Remember that? Andy, that was rough, wasn't it? The U.S. women's soccer team won the World Cup. That was a big deal. There was a college admission scandal. Yeah, that was tough. Notre Dame caught on fire. And NASA announced that the space station will be open for public use, for profit. That's amazing. And then lastly, we were introduced to Baby Yoda in 2019. That's impressive. You know, it's kind of fun as I was trying to think of things and look back. It's good for us to look back because we remember some of those things like Lady Gaga's meat dress or fidget spinners. All of these things show us how far we've come or how far we've digressed, I guess. Well, I asked a few folks, I said, tell me, as you look back on this past year, what has God done? And one person shared, the Lord has blessed me to be in unclear and uncomfortable positions. The Lord has blessed me to see that there is no place for me but to be close to Him. The Lord has made it absolutely clear that He is with me and knew exactly where I was at this past year. Another shared this, the Lord has been patient with me, teaching me to trust Him completely, even when I can't comprehend a solution or understand the future. This has been my struggle, and every time I fall at His knees, He is there to pick me up. He is teaching me to view every day as His, for His plans and not my own. See, it's important that we look back and see what God has done. You see, Paul is looking back in this verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He's looking back at the night Jesus was betrayed, and he's challenging the Corinthians to do the same. Because when we look back, we remember what Jesus did for us. You see, we live in a world where we want to have everything under control. We want to have everything outlined. And we begin to think that we're the ones that have it all in hand. And Paul is saying, remember, you were lost. Remember, you were broken. Remember, you couldn't do it, but it was for Him, what He did on that night. Jesus, Paul is looking back. And Jesus is saying the same thing. He said, both the bread and the cup, do this in remembrance of me. When we approach the Lord's table, when we take the Lord's Supper, we need to be looking back at what Jesus did for us. We're going to get an opportunity to do this. Jesus said, as often as you do this, He's encouraging us in the same manner to look back often at the cost with which He paid. You see, this is important for us to look back for three reasons. First, it's to understand, it's to have the knowledge that Jesus paid the price that we couldn't. It's to gain the understanding of why He did it. He didn't have to, but He did, and He willingly went to the cross for you and me. See, these are things that we need to contemplate as we take the Lord's Supper. And lastly, to appreciate the cost, that blood that was spilt for my sin, not His. The whipping that He received because of my actions. The fact that He hung on a tree because of my accountability. There was a cost associated, and when we take the Lord's Supper, we need to look back. But we also need to look forward, the second point this morning. Take a look again at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. So when we take communion, what we're doing is we are declaring that Jesus is coming back. We are looking at our future that has been paid for, has been guaranteed, not by our actions or because we deserve it, but because of the blood of Jesus Christ. This is what communion is. This is what the Lord's Supper is. We are focused on the future. In Matthew 26, 29, Jesus said the same thing. He said, I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it anew with my Father in His kingdom. I asked a few folks to look ahead, and one said, I'm hoping for continued spiritual growth, to have the eyes, ears, and heart of Christ, to see the unseen, hear the unheard, and to love the unloved. This is definitely a challenge for me, and I want to truly understand and embody the love Christ demonstrates to all. We are entering into a new season in life with both kids starting their own families and both sets of parents aging quickly. My hope is to support them, care for, and show the same love to our parents during this extremely challenging time as they did for us throughout our lives. For our children and their spouse, our prayers that they would earnestly seek God first and make Christ the center of their marriage and lives in every aspect. We are so blessed that all are believers and their hope and future is in Christ. See, the future looks amazing when Jesus Christ is your focus. I love that. What that person there is saying is they're saying, we praise the Lord because we're blessed that they all know Jesus. And their future is shaped by who Jesus says that they are, what Jesus has done, and what Jesus is going to do, the future. Another person said this, my goal for the year 2020 and beyond is to awaken the longing for my daily walk with the Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit will rekindle a fire within me. That longing to be always in the presence of the Lord, to be consistent in my study of the word and my prayer time with the Lord, to walk in his will. I have 6 grandkids that I intend to pour myself into their lives and love on them. They are growing up in a world without a moral compass and centered more so on the individual than ever before. As such, God's church will be going through new and even greater struggles than what we have experienced. My desire is to ensure that they have a firm foundation in the Bible's teaching. This person too is looking forward to what Jesus is going to do. And our hope and our desire is that our kids, our grandkids, that they too will be looking forward to who this Jesus is, what he's done and what he's going to do. The looking forward aspect. Paul is looking forward in this verse 26. He says, every time we take the Lord's Supper, we are declaring that Jesus is coming back. It's important to look ahead because it reminds us of the ultimate prize. You see, sometimes we get so focused on our agendas, on our ambitions, our careers, our relationships, but what we need to keep our eyes focused on is Jesus Christ, him glorified. Let me tell you, nothing in this world will matter when we stand before Christ except for him, his kingdom, and what he did. When we take the Lord's Supper, we're focusing on Jesus. Number 2 is it keeps us focused even when things are difficult. I couldn't believe coming back, getting off the plane, it was like my phone blew up with different people in the hospital and going through different things. And it was a reminder that things are tough. Not everything is glitz and glamour at Christmas. Some people are really hurting right now. You know, my dad always told me if you're a motorcycle driver, you're one of two people. You've either already had a motorcycle accident or you're about to have a motorcycle accident. And that's how I felt as I was working through the phone calls and the messages, trying to get through jet lag. And was, you know what? It seemed like you were one of two people. You were either about to go through a difficult time or you were already in a difficult time. Well, we know that the Lord never promised us rainbows and butterflies just because we became a Christian. But what he did promise us is that he would never leave us or forsake us. And we need to be reminded of that. And that's what we do when we take the Lord's Supper is, hey, no matter how difficult it is, Jesus is still seated at the right hand of the Father. And he is coming back. And all of this pain and all this temporary struggle will be no more. And there will be a day where we get to celebrate and walk on streets of gold where there'll be no tears and no pain. And I praise the Lord that Andy's mom is fully understanding. This is her reality right now. What we can only imagine. But when we take the Lord's Supper, we're focused on that. Well, we looked back, we looked forward. All of that positions us for right now. You see, Jesus said, do this. When you do it, you should do it. Meaning, do this in remembrance of me. We as a church, as a congregation, in our right now, we should take the Lord's Supper. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. He's saying, do this. So right now, we should prepare our hearts and our minds to do what Jesus did with his disciples, to take the Lord's Supper. And then he said, as often, the right now, we should do it often. You know, you don't just have to do the Lord's Supper at church. You can do it in your workplaces. You can do it at home as a family. And I was really excited. I'm counseling a couple right now, and they want to do communion at their wedding. I've never done a communion at a wedding. But I thought, what a perfect example. As often as you do this, it's not once a month in church or once a quarter or whenever. It's as often as you do it. Our right now, we should be constantly focused on what Jesus did, what Jesus is going to do, and it should shape our right now. You see, Jesus wants the history and the future, the looking back and the looking ahead, to inform your present. The Lord's Supper should shape us. That's like a, how much wood? The Lord's Supper should shape us and our lives right now. B, we should edit that. That's tough. So the right now, I asked a few folks as well. I said, tell me what God's doing right now in your life. And one said, God has shown me that he is in control time and time again. My husband's recent scoping 2 weeks ago showed that he was still in remission. God is the divine physician. Each day that I spend in God's word is like opening a new storybook. The stories and the lessons that I thought I knew have been so exciting to relearn them and see how much more there is to God's word. He wants me to dig deeper, to hunger for all the sweet answers that he has for me. Another person said, God is doing right now. God is preparing me. God is cutting, removing, trimming, and adding, molding, increasing, changing. He's changing my thinking all by his word. He has put his spirit in me to walk in his way. God is making me Christ-like. He is the potter and I am the clay. He is doing all of this in my life right now. My job is to bring him glory in everything he does through me. You see, I loved this aspect of those people that I asked. I said, tell me what God has done, what you're hoping God does, and then what God is doing right now. This is what, when we come to take the Lord's Supper, this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to look back. He wants us to remember all that God has done. He wants us to focus on the future, the prize, the goal. And all of that should change us right now. What I hear in these two voices where they're saying, I'm getting into God's word. What God's challenging them to do is get intimately close, closer. You know, it's been said, if ever there's a time that you loved God more than you do right now, you're in a condition of being backslidden. Lord, my prayer and my hope right now is that I would never be backslidden. Lord, I want to love you more today than I did yesterday, and I want to love you tomorrow more than I do today. See, when we approach the Lord's table, when we take communion, these are the things that God wants us to wrestle with. The history, the future, and the right now. We're going to do this as a congregation. We're going to take the Lord's Supper, and I want you to be thinking along those lines. I'd invite the deacons and their wives to come on up. And as we do that, I want to just leave you with three things as you begin to prepare your heart to receive the Lord's Supper. The first is this. When we participate in the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that Jesus was not executed by some government entity. It was my sin and my actions that put Jesus on the cross. He went willingly. It was your sin and your actions that put Jesus on the cross. You know, in the movie, The Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson, he was the one that hammered the nails. And I thought, as somebody that's making a film, he wanted people to understand it was an internal challenge for him as he's doing The Passion of the Christ. He knew that it was his actions that put Jesus on the cross. So he was going to be the actor that nailed the nails. It wasn't the Jews that killed Jesus. It wasn't Pilate that killed Jesus. You and I convicted him and we crucified him. So when we look back, we need to remember that. The second thing is breaking of the bread and drinking of the wine are important parts of the Passover celebration. You see, Jesus imbued those elements to show that he is the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament. He was the one prophesied, he is the one that came, and he's the one that will return. Jesus is everything that he said that he was. He's everything he said that he's going to be. And let me tell you something. We need this Jesus, and we can be excited that he fulfilled all single prophecies that were ever written about him. He is the risen King. And not only did he come and die for us, but he resurrected. Our faith does not hinge on the cross. It rests in the empty tomb. Because that tomb was empty, we have a promise. So we can look forward to the future, knowing that because he lives, so shall we. And lastly, this. The right now. He did this for you. Don't come casually. See, if we keep reading in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul will challenge the 1 Corinthians, do not take this supper in an unworthy manner. I want to encourage you and challenge you, because that's what Paul is doing with the Corinthians. He's saying, listen, come with your hearts open, your minds prepared. Come ready to receive Christ at the Lord's Supper. Jesus said this in Matthew 26, 27 through 28. He said, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. We needed that. But what I see more than anything is this willing heart of a loving Savior is desperate for you. So I know that there's some people in here today that you might not even want to take communion. Well, let me tell you, we practice an open communion, which means this is if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, come. Yeah, but Chris, you don't know what I've done. See, you've got the thinking all wrong. I don't care what you did this morning. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did last week, last year, or when you were growing up, or what's been done to you. You see, your focus is on the wrong part. It's not what you've done, it's what he's done. And he did this for you. If you're hurting and there's maybe a hesitation in your step to come to the Lord's Supper, you know what that means? You need to come all the more, just like the rest of us, because his blood washes it all away. And we are going to celebrate that this morning. The Lord's Supper.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.